Welcome to the Rural Revival Podcast. I'm your host, Dana Larson. Today we're with Dakota Don Johnson, host of the Cowgirl Confessions podcast in Mound City, Kansas. Dakota is a ranch wife, podcast host, and successful saleswoman, and is sharing with us today about her wonderfully wild and western life, as she likes to call it. We're talking about sales and sponsorships and why that doesn't have to be as hard as you think. And Dakota's actually giving us some great keys to making ourselves better in these areas by making sales skills life skills. She's also talking about the cowgirl state of mind and inviting other people into this lifestyle and what it looks like to find your calling and live that out. Before we get started, I have a fun announcement. We have now expanded our design services at Branded by Rural Revival to offer logos, branding, and marketing assets. So if you need a logo or a brand refresh, we would love to help you build a brand that you love. You can find out more at brandedbyruralrevival.co/design. And you can find that link in the show notes as well. And now here we go with Dakota Don Johnson. All right. Well, we're here today in Mound City, Kansas with Dakota Don Johnson of the Cowgirl Confessions podcast and actually so much more, which we're going to get into. But Dakota, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Dana. I'm just so excited to be here and just really grateful that we've finally connected in person.
Me too. This has been a long time coming.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, tell us a little bit about you. You have this great Southern accent, so I have to believe you probably weren't raised here in the Midwest.
I wasn't. I got here as soon as I could, but I wasn't born and raised here. So really, I'm just a small town cowgirl with Southern roots. Grew up in Alabama, and now just living the life as a ranch wife. We have two young boys. I'm a sales rep, in my corporate career, and then just trying to figure out how to pursue my calling, and that comes out in a lot of different forms, which we'll talk more about here soon. But I love the Western way of life, love raising our kids in rural America, and really, have been drawn to your podcast for so many years because you share stories of people that I feel like I can see a lot of myself and a lot of the things they've shared that resonate with why I love living and raising a family in rural America.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to get into it. So we have to know what brought you here. How did you meet your husband?
Oh, well, he's why I'm here, yeah. Like that's it. I never imagined that I would be living in Kansas. I actually was super content. I had moved to Oklahoma and was working there and just no plans of ever leaving, actually, unless I went to Texas, because, Texas, right?
Right.
but my now brother-in-law and sister-in-law, I knew them from rodeoing, and turns out he had a brother, which is now my husband, and so it just all became full circle. I'd never been to Mound City, Kansas, until I drove up here, literally kind of on a blind date. Like, I drove up here to meet my husband at his 30th birthday party. I'd never even seen a photo of him, Dana. Like, we had been texting, talking on the phone, but he's one of those guys who doesn't have social media till this day.
Yeah.
And so my sister-in-law now, we were good friends then, and she was like, you need to meet him. So I drove up here, and the rest is history. The joke is he couldn't get rid of me.
Or you were his best birthday present.
Yeah. So that's, it's wild. I've been in Mound City 8 years now. So.
Okay. Very cool. Well, tell us a little bit about your career path and where that has led to where you're at today, career-wise.
Absolutely. Well, I like to say that, I'm a saleswoman, and I feel like a lot of people shy away really from saying I'm in sales, but I'm so proud of that. I love it. Because really, for me, sales is about serving people and solving problems. That's what sales is to me. It's not by definition in the book. That's not what it is. But so really, I never imagined, like when I was in high school, I didn't realize that, people are like, what are you going to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And so I went to school and got a broadcast journalism degree and started my master's in business. I didn't finish that because I had an opportunity to go to work. Probably one of the only regrets I have. I think that if I ever had the opportunity, I might go back just to finish that. But without a doubt, the hands-on experience I've gotten has definitely, kind of catapulted me in my career. But So I grew up just really immersed in the Western industry way of life, rodeo, and I went to school and got a broadcast journalism degree with the goals of wanting to be the next Jennifer Smith or Pam Minnick. You know, like I was like, I want to be able to announce, you know, and be on TV at the NFR. And I think a lot of young women probably want that. At the time, there weren't as many opportunities as there are now, you know, for people to do that with the Cowboy Channel and Cowgirl Channel. But what I realized is when I got out of college and I was looking at different opportunities, I really and truly, something that was super important to me, Dana, was I wanted to be able to financially support myself. And I had grown up where, you know, there was just a big emphasis. I felt like for me, there was a certain type of life that I imagined and wanted to live. And I wanted to know I could do that on my own, you know, with God's help. But I didn't want to have to wait until I got married to make some of those things happen. And so as I started looking at jobs, I realized that there was always going to be somebody younger, prettier, and willing to work different hours that could potentially have that job on air in different places. And so I had to make this decision where I was like, you know, that's what I want to do, but I bet there's other ways I can do that and that not be my full-time career. So I've always kind of had that desire to tell stories, to connect with people, but I never really understood how God was going to use me getting a degree in broadcast journalism, teaching me how to write and talk on air, tell stories, really know how to read the room, connect with people. And then, you know, the time I had pursuing a master's in business, and I grew up as well, I guess I should say, I grew up, my family owned a restaurant in Alabama. So I got a lot of on-hands experience with what it's like running your own business, what it's like interacting with people.
Yeah.
And all of that's culminated to where back in 2013, I started full-time at Ariat International. That's where I'm at now. And I had some sales positions before that, but I've really found a place where I'm getting to put, you know, skills that I feel like some were God-given and some that I've really embraced and learned how to refine over the years, and taken that and really just kind of found my place as a saleswoman, because I'm getting to use all these skills that, you know, I went to college for. It's a lot different than how I thought I'd be using them, but being able to draft an email appropriately or be able to speak in front of a group of people, your peers, or whether it be my retail partners, and really know how to deliver a message clearly and concisely, that has helped so much in my sales career. And I find a lot of joy in being able to do that, because I mean, really and truly in sales, you're fixing stuff all day long. You're trying, you know, you're just trying to fix problems. And I joke that I sell a little bit, but I fix problems all day long. That's my job. So, that's what my career looks like.
I love it. So that's such a refreshing approach, because I think all of us, if we're being honest, it's the word sales, thinking about sales, it's a little intimidating.
Sure.
But what I love about you is you find a way to do it and be your genuine self. And your approach is just, it really is refreshing. So you were also Miss Rodeo USA.
I was.
Congratulations. That's really awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But in a way, like, that's almost a different kind of sales, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so talk a little bit about that. What are some keys for us novices out here who are intimidated by sales? What would you say to us to not be so afraid of it?
Well, I would say that, you know, when you approach it from serving people and solving problems, just with those two key things at the center of your focus, that's what I always draw back to, because sales is not always easy, you
right.
know? And somebody once told me, they said, you know, the sale starts when someone tells you no. And so, for instance, right now with me being at Ariat, we have a great brand, and in a lot of ways, like, it's easy to get a yes because people want our product in their stores. They believe in our product. We have a great brand story. I mean, there's all these reasons to say yes. But, you know, I had a pretty humbling moment not too long ago. I was working with an account, and for the first time in my career, Ariat, you know, that the brand that I was, you know, selling to them, we were a little fish in a big pond, instead of being the big fish in a little pond. And it was really, really great for me to be in that position, because I was like, man, like, I'm really having to to sell right now, to tell them the brand story, to make them understand why, not why they need us, but how we can help them, like what we're going to be able to do for, you know, their ROI and like all of these things that they're focused on making money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And what I like to think about when it comes to sales, it doesn't matter what you're selling, whether it's an experience, an actual physical product, a digital product. I like to think about the person on the other end of that and how that's going to provide them with an experience that, you know, is either going to bless them or it's going to make them feel like, well, man, they did that because it was about them.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think when it comes to sales, if you can just initially baseline, if you have a product or a service or an experience that you know is going to bless somebody else, then remind yourself of that. Like, bring yourself back to that and don't focus so much on, oh, am I going to say the right thing or whatever? Like, focus on how that's going to serve them and it's going to give you that confidence you need. I'm not saying you won't still have sticky notes you need to look at or your iPad or whatever.
Right,
like it's fine. You know, the presentation side of it's a whole different story. But when it comes to genuinely like showing up and giving somebody, like selling them this opportunity, think about how that's going to bless them on the other end. And I've sold pants and shirts and boots, and I'm back to selling pants and shirts now at Ariat. That's the division I'm in, is the apparel division. And, you know, I really do, when I sell certain product to my retail partners, I think about, you know, the ranch wife that's coming in there to buy all their kids new denim for school or buy new boots for them, and how I'm confident that the product that she's going to spend their family's hard-earned dollars on, like, it's going to deliver.
Yeah.
And so I do think that's the other thing, you know, if there's the two things, one, thinking about serving others and really how that product or opportunity is going to serve them in their day-to-day life. But you have to find something that you are confident it's going to deliver. So it's very hard to sell something that you're not, you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that would be key, is just, you know, and just because you have to sell something for a little while. I mean, I worked for a company one time, I'm not going to mention their name on here, but it was early on in my sales career, and it was in the healthcare medical field. And, you know, I was calling on doctors and sitting in parking garages, making cold calls, and just, it wasn't the right fit, Dana. It wasn't. But that skill set, it helped me. I knew it wasn't. I did that for about 8 months, and then I moved on to something else. So there are times you'll have to sell things that you're just like, why this? But keep going until you can find that thing that you're just like, this is so good. I can't keep this to myself. I want to share this with other people.
Yes, I totally agree. And, you know, everybody listening here more than likely has a side hustle or a small business or something. And so we all are out there being on social media and sending emails. And if you're like me, I think we can get in our heads about selling. And the truth is, we just, at the end of the day, want to help people. When I think about what I offer to people that I make money, the things that I make money off of, I wouldn't create it if I didn't think it would help them, you know? And so if I went to the trouble to create it to help them, then I have to be willing to put myself out there and pitch it to them and let them know about it and, you know, so-called sell it to them, because I do know it can help them. And so I do think that's a hurdle that we just have to, it's almost like a mindset thing that you have to overcome too.
I completely agree with you. It is. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I have to give myself pep talks all the time. I mean, yeah. I don't think it's ever this moment where you arrive and maybe don't have butterflies and stuff. I mean, I still get that before my big meetings and whatnot. But I truly, you know, when I start feeling that way, Dana, I just go, you know what? This is my Esther moment. This is what God designed me to do. I have all these skills that He's equipped me with. And so I'm going to walk into that room like He sent me here today.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not a boardroom, you know, sometimes it's showing up at, you know, the junior rodeo to serve, you know, yeah, or help get sponsorships or whatever that room might look like, or that experience might look like when you have an opportunity to sell. And I'm so passionate about, I'm kind of go back and dive in a little bit to the Miss Rodeo USA experience. Mm-hmm. The time, I mean, it was just 1 year essentially that I got to hold that title and travel and meet so many people, but it helped me look at sales from a different lens, because I had always been, I mean, growing up doing junior rodeo and 4-H and whatnot. I mean, one of my earliest memories is, you know, my mom, you know, pulling up to a business and you know, I had my pen and piece of paper to go in and ask somebody to sponsor me, you know, give me an ad for the junior rodeo. And I just remember from doing that all the way through college. And then when I went to a national level and competed in One Miss Rodeo USA, it became in that moment where I'd been seeking personal sponsorships. Now I was not only representing myself, I was representing a national rodeo association and the Miss Rodeo USA organization and all the cowboys and cowgirls and committees and stock contractors that built those. You know, it was really a moment where I was like, if there was ever a time that it was like, this isn't about you, this is about them, that year really had an impact on me that was like, I'm in this position to where I can, you know, people are watching me. I have the ability to have an impact. Everything that I say and I do, it's going to either make somebody feel seen and heard, or it's going to do the opposite. And so my goal throughout that year was just to really be a sponge, to be a great listener. And I learned so much about sales, specifically sponsorships, because, you know, anything we're doing, I feel like we all are selling every single day. But in that way, the sponsorship opportunities that I got to be a part of and just really understand it from all different angles, from the person that is spending their money, that wants the exposure, to the people managing on the back end to make sure you provide that return on an investment for someone who's spending their money and time with you. And I just think that all of that together helped me realize, and this is where my passion really lies now, in helping other people, both, you know, whether it's a kid or somebody my age or even older, and understanding like sales skills are life skills, because I've been able to see how just repetition and learning how to sell can make a fundamental difference in every aspect of my life. And once I started applying sales skills that I learned from, you know, literally knocking on doors in junior rodeo to, you know, navigating sponsorships with different committees and rodeos as Miss Rodeo USA, and now at Ariat, you know, working through different sales opportunities with retail partners, what it's made me realize is that if more people had sales skills, I really think that they could see a difference in all these other areas of their life, you know, a positive impact. But to your point, it's a mindset. And so I really want to be able to encourage people, but give them kind of a roadmap on how you, just the basic principles of selling, you know, how you can overcome the mindset, like we were talking about, and why it's important, because it's like anything, a muscle, you know, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it, I would just say, you know, lean into it being uncomfortable, you know, when you sell, like, because that's so important, because it's not going to get any easier until you get, you know, gain that level of confidence in what you're doing.
Absolutely. So I love that you have actually put this into a guide for people, and it's amazing, the Kickstart Guide to Sponsorships. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. So thank you. I'm really, really thrilled. This is the first digital product that I've launched, and it's been a long time coming, Dana. It really has. And I spoke specifically to sponsorships because I do feel like, you know, for my first guide, I can see this potentially going on and there being some different opportunities in the future that don't speak directly to sponsorships, you know, that maybe could speak to small business owners and sales or to sales reps. But what I just felt really led to create is a tool that I wish I would have had when I was, you know, in junior rodeo, when I was Miss Rodeo USA even. And it's just really a roadmap to sponsorships. And so it goes through the basics of selling, but it's definitely got the cowgirl state of mind written all over it, because that's how I, you know, manage my life day to day, is just with that cowgirl state of mind. And so the Kickstart Guide to Securing and Retaining Sponsorships, it was really important to me. There's great resources out there for securing sponsorships, but I feel like one of the key areas that is overlooked, and I don't think it's intentional, let me just say that, I think it's truly a lack of understanding, a lack of experience, and maybe just an oversight, but it's the retaining portion. And whether it's with sponsorships or sales in general, sales, whenever it only feels transactional, that's not a good feeling. I don't like that feeling. Right. The person on the other end doesn't like that feeling. And so the way that you mitigate the risk that comes with making someone on the other end feel like they aren't super appreciated is you focus. I mean, you have to be intentional about not only securing but retaining that sponsorship, that relationship, that investment. And so that's what this guide really focuses on. It's 80 pages of just jam-packed with information, but then also within that 80-page guide, it has templates that are available. So let's say you're literally wanting to put together a package to where you could walk into somebody and say, hey, I'm getting ready to go to, you know, this rodeo finals, and it's going to take X amount of dollars to get there, and this is what I'm trying to secure. Like, it has templates built for you that can be plug and play, but it also walks you through about how you have to put on your different hats. So you have your hat where you are selling, and then you need to put on a different hat to where you're thinking about the person that's investing with you and what it might feel like on their end. And it walks you through like how you do your follow-up, how you keep track of that, how you keep track of the return on investment for that person. And it really became clear to me, this was a guide I wish that I would have had, you know, 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But once I got on this side of it, now being a small business owner, it added a whole nother level to it, because now I'm one of the people that people are reaching out to saying, hey, will you sponsor me for this? Mm-hmm. Will you do this? And while I love giving back, and there are certain things that I will continue to invest in, I got to tell you, Dana, like, it's so hard when you see somebody and you're just like, but if you just did this, this would help catapult you. Like, you're burning bridges and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to help that go away. Like, yep. And this guide could, because I don't think anybody's doing it intentional. It's truly an oversight. And so this guide, that's really, you know, something that I don't feel like anybody else is out there putting it in a format like this. Because what I was also, you know, just really cognizant of is that I didn't have a whole lot of extra money to spend. You know, when you're in kind of the weeds, if you will, and you want this knowledge, I wanted to make it accessible for people to have, to where it's not something that, you know, well, you got to have a lot of money to get it or whatever. Like, yes, it's an investment, but then the other part of the guide is that there's a private podcast that goes along with it. And so as a working mom and stuff, like, I know a lot of times, like, if I buy something, I need the audio, I'll binge listen to it, you know, let it kind of sit in, and then I can go back and work through that workbook or whatever I'm doing. And so it was really important to me to provide the information in both the guide as well as the audio and the podcast, just because I want this to get in the hands of the people that are hungry to learn and that want to, you know, essentially make sales skills life skills.
Yeah, I love it. And I love personally being in marketing too, but when you can find a sponsorship that's a win for everybody involved, that is the best. I mean, and that's always my goal, you know, and sometimes people are a better fit than others, But yeah, when you can find a sponsorship that's a win for everybody, that's the way to go. And so I love your guide. You've done a great job with it. And we will link to that in the show notes for anybody who's interested, because I do think you're right. That's a gap where there's not a lot of information out there about that. Mm-hmm. So I love that you're filling that gap for us.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. So you have an amazing life beyond all of this that includes your family and some really fun side hustle things. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So my husband, Tyler, he's why I'm here in Mound City, Kansas. So I proudly, you know, I feel like take on the title of a ranch wife. It's not something that, you know, I really, Dana, just think about the life I get to live today. And we call it wonderfully wild and Western because, and I'll tell you where this came from. So, you know, my husband and I, we will have been married 7 years in May. And when we were new parents, people do the thing where, you know, they can tell that you're in that phase, you're not getting much sleep, you know, you're both working full-time jobs, you're doing all the things. And they're like, you know, well, how are you doing? How are things going? You know, and like, you want to be honest, and you're so grateful for all these blessings God's given you, but you are running on E. Like, you are just like, do you want the real answer or what? And so this became kind of our anthem, when we would answer people was, we're wonderfully wild and Western. Our hands and our hearts are so full right now. And they still are. That proves to be true now. I mean, I thought that was the case with one. And now we have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And my husband, he's the one that does the day-to-day work. We have a feeder calf operation. I'm really just the gate getter. I make breakfast sandwiches and then help at tax time. That's kind of the role I play there because I work full-time in Ariat. And then, have my side hustles, as you were saying. Life is all go, no woe all the time around here. That is what it is, but in the best kind of way, because I remember, I'm in a season of life that I prayed for. And I don't want that to sound like a Hallmark card kind of surface level deal, but I've been through some seasons that they were not what I prayed for. And, it was one of those where you just endure until, and you're like, okay, God, you're going to bring me out on the other side of this. And so I really feel like the past year, not that it's had, a shortage there. We've had some loss and some hardships even there, but really in the past year, I've just felt like, okay, I'm truly living in a moment that I prayed for, but it's better than what I prayed for. Like, I couldn't have imagined God putting me, because it wasn't my plan to move to Southeast Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't, that wasn't ever my plan, but, he's so good like that. He has his own plan. So.
Absolutely. So you've started a podcast. How many years in are you?
So we are on season 4. The podcast started in our first episode aired September of 2020. Started working on that in June of 2020. And it'd been a long time coming. I never imagined it would be a podcast. I had the idea for a book since 2009. And, Cowgirl Confessions, Navigating Careers, Cowboys, Kids, and Cattle, like, clearly knew that's what it was going to be. And I still have the goal of writing a book one day, but I'm glad that God kind of let me put that on a shelf, because I know the way the book will be formatted and whatnot looks very different now than it would have in 2009. So it's really been great to have the podcast come along like it has. And, I really owe so much to, it's all about surrounding yourself with people, iron sharpens iron. Yeah. And I had a friend of mine who already had a podcast, and we were in this group talking about writing books. And at this point in 2020, I had our first son. He was just over a year old. And I remember thinking, like, and even telling her, I was like, I really want to write this book, but, I just don't know how I'm going to fit it in. And she was like, well, you need to start a podcast. And I was like, well, yeah. And literally, Dana, she went and she, like, set me up an account on Anchor and said, see, she sent me an email and said, hey, here's your username and login. Get started. And I was like, well, all righty then. If she believes in me enough and she's going to set this up, I guess no time like the present. So, I mean, fumbled my way through, just kind of trial by fire. But, I'm so honored and honestly can't believe, as you know, time's going to pass regardless.
Yeah.
And so it's wild to think, I've been podcasting for 4 years now and really getting to share women's stories with the Cowgirl State of Mind for 4 years. It's just kind of, it's hard to even imagine sometimes that we've been doing it like that. So
yeah. Talk more about the Cowgirl State of Mind, because I love your perspective on this. Is really good.
Yeah. So, the Cowgirl State of Mind, what I realized, Dana, is, and I'll try not to get, too emotional talking about this, but I was raised, my mom was a cowgirl, and I didn't realize it at the time growing up, but I was just so fortunate because I was surrounded by other, not just my mom, but other women who possessed that cowgirl state of mind. And so it wasn't just in their words, but their actions and how they showed up and how they lived. And watching that, it made such a huge impact on my life, to where as I got older and I had the opportunity to meet other people or other women, like, sometimes I could just, it's like I wanted to be able to just bottle the cowgirl state of mind and give it to them, mm-hmm. because I was like, they they've got it. They've got the whole package, but like they're just like kind of missing something. And it wasn't necessarily always confidence, or it was for me, like I was just like, it's the cowgirl state of mind. Like they need that. And so, you know, when I started thinking about the, you know, I was going to write a book and then the podcast, the goal there, and it remains to be the goal, is sharing, you know, the cowgirl state of mind with women across the globe. And it doesn't matter if you came from rural America, if you've ever, you know, thrown your leg over a horse. It's about taking this mindset, this like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to do whatever it takes to finish the job. You know, I love my country. I love freedom. I love Jesus. Like all of this that I feel like really comes together, and the cowgirl state of mind, you know, it means different things to different people. But I think, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, it's about just understanding that like when you're going to fully step in, and no matter what comes your way, you're going to take it on. You're going to do the best that you can. And realize that it's not just about you. It's about something much bigger. And the way you handle stuff, it's really, you know, setting the stage for all the people around you, the people that the young cowgirls, the young cowboys, you know, these strangers that know nothing about our way of life. Mm-hmm. And so being able to approach every situation with just that, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out how to do this, and I'm going to do it with joy in my heart, you know, and a smile on my face. Even when I don't feel like smiling right now, I'm going to do it, you know, like that. Yeah. So getting to hear from other women too, and really having a place where those stories can live on forever, that other people, because there's things that I feel like, you know, what the cowgirl state of mind means to me, it might not speak to somebody in the way as, you know, when you share what it means to you. And and so that's really the goal, is just providing this platform to where these stories can be shared, they can live for years to come and just grow. There's such a cool movement right now going on, I feel like, with people, you know, in the Western, you know.
Absolutely.
In mainstream. Yes. And I'm like, hey, like, are they going to know which end of the horse to feed? No, I don't know, you know. But, like, at the same time, like, who really cares? Like, the fact that they think our lifestyle is so cool that they want to buy the cowboy hat, that they want to learn or know more about this. Well, come on. Like, there's room at this table.
Yeah.
I want the cowgirl state of mind, and really the podcast is about making sure other people feel invited into this lifestyle that we are blessed to have grown up in and get to live in. So.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about callings, because I know that's something both you and I are passionate about. And I think we both had a journey to figure out what our calling was. And so what would you say to somebody who's like, I know that there's something more out there for me, I just haven't figured out what it is yet?
Oh, that's so good. And you're right. And I feel like I'm still on a journey, Dana.
Me too. Yes.
Still on a journey. But getting more clarity every day, it feels like, and what that looks like. And so, and I'll just say, like, whether you know Jesus or you're a believer or not, I'm just going to, you know, credit that the closer I get to him, the more clarity I have in what my calling is. Mm-hmm. And I wish I'd have realized that sooner, instead of trying to figure it out on my own, what that is. And I have a board here in my office that it just says, don't quit your calling. Mm-hmm. And that is just my reminder, because it's, you know, trying to figure out, like I mentioned earlier, you know, what led me to my sales career. Like, I never imagined how all these different skills would then actually put me in a prime position to be really great at sales.
Yes.
Like, nobody said when I was in high school, well, why don't you think about a sales career? Like, that just wasn't a thing then. I hope it is now, or maybe we start normalizing that. But, you know, kind of circling back, I feel like my calling's the same thing. I have a desire to serve people. I've gotten pretty dang good at solving problems, because I'm doing that all the time, you know? And I desire to provide experiences for people that are really, like, memorable. And it doesn't matter, you know, I had the opportunity, I've been doing some keynote speaking. And so whether I'm in a room full of women and I'm trying to provide an experience to where they just leave there feeling really inspired and equipped based on the tools they have today, you know, as a ranch wife or whatever, like that, whether it's that type of experience or me and a few business friends of mine, we get together and I have a love for junk. And so we like are part of this, you know, Junk on the Prairie Trail, and we bring all our small businesses together and we create an experience, you know, and provide some Western stuff for people to come and shop. Or if it's literally Dana, like showing up and being the wife that brings the breakfast sandwiches, you know, to our feeder calf operation when we ship cattle, like I want everything I do, like I want it to really to be an extension, hands and feet, you know, just be an extension and people to be able to see Jesus through me. And at the same time, like provide this experience that leaves them feeling better than when I found them or when they found me.
Yeah.
And so I think all of that to kind of go back to, you know, what is my calling? Like, I really feel like I've been given the gift of gab. And so I want to make people feel welcome and just provide them with something that they're like, hey, like, I felt seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And that's coming out in a lot of different ways. You know, I've had the opportunity, like I said, doing some keynote speaking. I've created the digital guide. And I'm not sure what he's going to do with me, you know, to be quite honest. But I do feel like I'm not one of those that you can just kind of fit in a box and put a label on, like, she is this. You know, I'm a lot of different things, and I am multi-passionate and kind of multifaceted, but at the end of the day, it all goes back to, you know, living by the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated, and helping, you know, just provide an experience to them that's going to bless them when, you know, they walk away. So
yeah. Well, you are one of the most encouraging people I know, and if any of you listening or a follower of Dakota, you know this, like, she is on social media always encouraging everyone and cheering them on. And so I love that about you. I think that's part of the experience that people have with you, is they leave feeling encouraged.
Oh goodness,
yeah,
that is so sweet of you, Dana, truly. And I hope and pray that's what they get, because there's so much going on in the world today that you know, being a light is it's important to me, and that doesn't mean that you ignore the dark stuff or when things are hard,
right.
But it's a choice. It's a choice, and being able to provide that encouragement, because a lot of times, you know, whenever I send an email or make a post on social or a blog on the website, like, a lot of times that stuff I need to hear myself.
Yes.
It's just as much for me as it is for those that, you know, are choosing to read it and everything. And I don't take it lightly that people, you know, our time is so valuable. Mm-hmm. And when somebody chooses to pause, you know, their scroll and read, you know, for 30 seconds or a minute, whatever I've written, like, that means something to me. I mean, I think it's a big deal, because our time is precious. It's the most valuable resource we have. So when somebody chooses to spend time with me, I sure want to be like giving them something back in return that's positive, not weighing us down anymore.
Yeah. That phrase, don't quit your calling. I think when you do realize what you're called to, it is that thing at the end of the day that even though it's hard, it keeps you going, because you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, even though it's hard.
Yeah.
Even though maybe today was a bad day, I know that I'm still doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think there's just something cool about that. And that's, I'm with you, like, the things I've done that led to this have all been experiences that have played into me being successful at what I'm doing now. But there are hard days. And I think even though I can say, like, yeah, I'm called to do this, it's always nice to have that reminder that, you know, no, I'm doing this because I'm called and this matters, and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, I think it's so important that, you know, we keep that as the focus, because it doesn't mean that, I mean, it, nowhere does it say that, you know, life here on earth is going to be easy.
Right.
And so it's, when I think about, you know, don't quit your calling and how that's come out in different ways, I mean, even like with this podcast, you know, and I'm sure, Dana, people ask you too, I mean, this this podcast is a passion project for you as well. Yeah. You know, yes. And I feel like sometimes people, they'll say things like, well, I just don't know how you do it all, or I don't know how you make time for that, or this, that, and the other. And, you know, once you kind of, once I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I can say this confidently, that once I knew what my calling was, like mm-hmm. what God, and maybe it wasn't clear. It's not like I always knew I was going to do this, 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 this. But it was like he made it very clear that, hey, I want you to be sharing stories yeah. of other women. I want you to create this platform. And, you know, oh, by the way, like with me being in sales, so much of what I've done over the years, you know, there's you're monetizing. It's directly tied to that. Well, when you step into your calling, doesn't always mean you're going to be monetizing off of that right. calling. And I yeah. think that, you know, that was a great learning lesson for me in the beginning, too, and something that I had to... It's like I had to coach myself through, because really I was unaware that I was doing this, but I almost felt this pressure of being able to say, well, the podcast, you know, like giving the metrics and what it's doing, and it's going to bring in this amount or whatever. And, you know, just early on, I knew that's not what this is about. Like, you're called to share these stories, period. Mm-hmm. It didn't have all these things attached to it. And so even, you know, talking through... you know, logistically, my husband is the greatest support system. You know, he is my partner, and I know he wants me to succeed at anything I do. But whenever I was like, hey, I'm going to start this podcast and this, and he's like, okay, you know, like yeah. what? And so then it was like, okay, well then what's that going to do? And I was like, oh no, this isn't about the money. You know, this is about me doing something I feel like I'm called to do. And so he was like, okay. But you know, it's almost like I had to make it, like I had to be okay with that first, that like, yeah. I'm doing this not for any reason other than I know this is what I'm called to do. But then, Dana, it's so cool though, how God makes things work, because I started this podcast, and through the podcast though, God has given me opportunities that could build my small business and that I could monetize on. Like when someone reached out to a friend and said, hey, I need somebody to do a voiceover for this product that I have. Do you know anybody? Well, my friend could just send them the podcast link and say, hey, I know this gal. If you like her voice, I can contact her for yeah. you. Well, you know what? I got an opportunity to monetize off of doing a voiceover yeah. for a company. And that would have never happened without the podcast. So yeah. things happen, you know, when you step into things and pursue your calling, like God's not going to leave you hanging. Like yep. he's going to help you find a way to make it work. And it just, it's, for a while I said, you know, I felt like a little bit like a Dr. Seuss book, like I'll podcast in a tree, I'll podcast on a plane, in the backseat of a truck, you know, it doesn't matter, in a gas station parking lot, like I'm going to podcast wherever I have to, Lord, to get these out. And, you know, I'm sure like you've traveled all over the place, you know, sharing people's stories in rural America and small towns. And it's just like, once you know, you can't ignore it. Yeah. And that's what I decided, like, so what if it's hard? Like, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and if I don't do this, then I'm being disobedient. And I'd much yep. rather be tired or upset or frustrated than be disobedient.
Absolutely. What excites you most about the future of rural America?
Oh, so many things. And when I think about the future, really the visual that I get, Dana, is I think about our boys and my yeah. nieces, you know? So, yeah. Like I said, our boys are 5 and 2. My nieces are 5 and 3. And when I think about the future, I feel like there's this shift happening to where it's not just about going to get a 4-year degree anymore and then going off somewhere else and right. you might come back home.
Yep.
I still think, you know, that's still going to continue and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think there is this shift into, you know, people realizing it's okay to go to a trade school. Yeah. It's okay to start your own business maybe straight out of high school if you don't feel like college is the route for you, you know. I'm excited about the different opportunities that because of technology, there's so many remote positions that are available with companies, just like me, for example, you know, at Ariat. I get to work for a great company that's based out of California. I have no desire to live in California or in a big city. I mean, I just, right. I don't.
Yep.
And that's not throwing any shade at anyone who right. lives there in a big city, but that's not what I want. And a lot of times I feel like people think in order to have that type of position, you have to make that sacrifice. And what I see with there being so many remote positions now, is more people getting to live this rural lifestyle, getting to raise their families, and it being really cool to come back home mm-hmm. if you do leave, you know? So yeah, the future, I think the future's bright. I don't really get bought into, I think the future's what you make it. And
absolutely,
we while there are a lot of things going on, and it's an election year, and all the stuff, you know, that we can be focused on. And I won't go down that rabbit hole, but there's no shortage of things we can be concerned about. But I do feel like just a little bit of time I've even gotten to spend, you know, working with some FFA students and things like that, that it's just like there is a bigger perspective of what is possible and what can be possible in rural America instead of having to go outside of it to go find a job or whatever. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what that next generation brings up. And I just want to do my best to raise good humans so that they can be a contributing part of it, you know, yes. Whatever that might look like.
So good. Well, what's next for you? What's on the horizon?
Oh, Dana, just taking it one day at a time. I really want to work on, you know, this next year. I've had the opportunity to speak at a few events. And mm-hmm. so actually Of the West is a platform that a friend of mine, Jesse Jarvis, started a few years ago. And so the other day I got on there and listed myself as, you know, a keynote speaker and somebody that would do voiceover. So kind of adding that to the array of things that I offer. But, you know, really just focusing on being present. That's what it's about for me right now, and being committed to consistency in the things that I'm already doing. You know, just really loving on that community of people, the cowgirls and stuff that make up the Cowgirl Confessions podcast community, and just being really present for my family. So it's a great chapter, and I don't want it to rush by at all. So
savor every moment. Yeah. All right. Well, how do we follow along with all that you have going on?
Yeah, so probably the easiest way to keep up with me is just to go to DakotaDawnJohnson.com and hit that subscribe button. So I've got e-newsletters that go out. So if you want to kind of keep up with me and what I'm doing, you can just subscribe to the Dakota Dawn Johnson e-newsletter. But if you really are more geared and just want kind of the podcast updates, you can subscribe just to that one. And then we are on Facebook and Instagram as well. So
perfect. And people can find your sponsorship guide on your website, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It's there. And, you know, anybody that sees that and might be on the fence or have questions, is this for you? Is it not for you? Feel free to reach out. I want this to, like I said, really be a blessing to the people that want to invest and learn those sales skills, and they truly translate into life skills. So I'd be happy to talk to you and just be like, hey, you know, is this right for you? Is it not? I think it's right for everybody, but obviously, right. You know, I'm happy to walk through that with you, answer any questions you have. And Dana, this has just been such a delight today. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Yes, thank you for, I'm so glad it finally worked. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Well, Dakota truly is one of the most encouraging people I know, and I love the way that she champions women and shares their stories to inspire us. She truly is a light to all of us with her positive outlook on life, so be sure to check out her podcast, because if you love this podcast, I have a feeling you're going to love her podcast too. And you can go find and follow her at the links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Dakota for being on the podcast, and thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great day, everybody.